Kids, Sunday school, have a good time, behave yourself. You know, the last couple of Bible studies, we've been teaching about the love of the Father. You know, and it's the last couple of times, and I tell you, it just really blessed me, you know, to know that we have a Father who loves us unconditionally. Some, you know, some might not know your dad, or you might have a father that might be a fatherly figure. You know, you might have some that, you know, whatever it might be, you know, absentee dad or just whatever. But we have a Father, a Heavenly Father, that's always there for us. Do you know that? And once we know that we have somebody who loves us unconditionally, might not love what we do all the time, but going to love us all the time. Regardless of what you do or don't do, our Heavenly Father is going to love us. And I don't know about you, but that gives me such comfort, such assurance, and such joy and peace to know that somebody loves me in spite of myself. In spite of myself, they love me, and I'm so thankful for that. So, you know, I believe that the Lord has given me something here today about the love of the Father again. If you turn to the book of Deuteronomy 31 and 8. Deuteronomy 31 and 8. When you get this, amen. Need a couple more amens. And the Lord, it says, He it is that doeth go before thee. God will always go before us. Regardless of where we go, God is always going to be there. He's going to go before us. Do you know that? Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. Why? Because thou art with me. See, he's going to go before us to make sure that his children are okay. The same way earthly fathers, when you're a little kid or whatever, and you're going somewhere, your dad will grab your hand and he will go before you to make sure that you're okay, make sure that everything is safe. And when your dad holds your hand, your father holds your hand or picks you up in his arms, you feel safe, don't you? You feel safe, regardless of, it might be a big old dog down there barking at you and growling. But if the father got you in his arms, you're okay. Or whatever. It might be somewhere in the dark, you know, because a lot of kids are afraid of the dark. But if it's dark, if you're in your father's arms, you're okay. So it says, He it is that goes down before thee. He will be with thee. He will always be with you. Regardless where you are, what you're doing, he's always there. He will be with thee. He will not fail thee, neither forsake thee. Fear not. Neither be dismayed or distressed. Let me read that again. He will not fail thee, neither forsake thee. Fear not, neither be dismayed. You know, because God didn't give us a spirit of fear, but a power of love and a sound mind. And the power of love and a sound mind is God with us. To know that God is with us wherever and whatever we do, that should give you joy. Joy unspeakable. That should give you peace that surpasses all understanding. Regardless of what goes on within this world, within this country, within your own personal life, know that God is with you. He said he will never fail you. His promises is yes and amen. Do you know that? Now let's go to Isaiah 43. Isaiah 43. Now we'll start in verse 1. Isaiah 43 and verse 1. You know, when I read over these scriptures or whatever, it gives me so much comfort. It gives me so much comfort to know that our God is always there with us. And we all are going through stuff. We all are going through trials. We're all going through tribulations, valleys, and all type of things. But know this, that God is always there with you. But sometimes, now I'm just speaking of myself, sometimes, you know, when things are going on in my life, you know, two or three things at a time, I start focusing on this, and I start focusing on that, and I start focusing on the other, and I start to get a little panicky. I start to get a little, you know what I mean, concerned about things. But then I have to stop and say, wait a minute, wait a minute. God is in control. And if God is in control, guess what? All is well. If God is in control, all is well. Isaiah 43:1. But now thus says the Lord that created thee, O Jacob, and he that formed thee, Israel, fear not. There we go again. Fear not, for I have redeemed thee, and I have called thee by thy name, thou art mine. Do you know he's talking to us also? Do you know that? Let me read that again. But now thus says the Lord, not the pastor, not the church, not your relatives, but now thus says the Lord that created thee. He's created each and every one of us. And each and every one of us that he's created, he has a purpose and a plan for you. Do you know that? He has a purpose and a plan for each and every one of us. And he says that, O Jacob, and thou hast formed thee. God has given us things within us. He's formed us for a purpose and a plan. It's not just for ourselves. He's created and formed us in a fashion to serve him. Do you hear what I'm saying? Everything that God has put within us is to serve the kingdom of God. Not ourselves, but the kingdom of God. And we need to remember that. I am a servant. I am a servant. I'm a servant for the Most High God. And if I'm a servant for the Most High God, you can't get no better than that. You can't get no better position than being a servant for the God. And you hear what I'm saying? I don't care. President, CEO, or anything else is nothing better than being a servant of the Most High God. I love being a servant for the Most High God. Sometimes you get a little weary, don't we? We get a little weary sometimes. But the bottom line is God in us will bring us through everything that he allows us to go through. Listen to what he says. He's out formed thee. He says, fear not, I have redeemed thee. We know what redeeming means. Anybody who takes their bottles and cans to the where? Redemption Center. And you take the bottles and cans and you turn them in for what? A nickel, 6 cents. So that redemption, you taking and giving somebody something and they're giving you something back. He said he's redeemed us. He redeemed us from a sinful life. He's redeemed us from a one-way ticket to Hell Express. He's redeemed us. How good is that? How good is it? We can stop right there and go home. And it should be good. Amen? Some of y'all probably said, okay, Pastor, let's look at her. We ain't done yet, man. Anyway, he says, and this is the good part. I have called thee by thy name. Thou art mine. Everybody he has called you, but do you know he knows your name? He knows more than your name. He knows how many hairs that you have on your head. Do you know that? How good is that? And this is the good part. When thou passest through the waters, when you go through the waters, I will be with thee. And through the rivers, they shall not overflow thee. Wait a minute, let's stop here. When you passest through the waters of life, the waters of difficulties, the waters of things that has anybody ever felt like you're drowning in life? Oh, he said, he says, I'm right with you. I will bring you through that. And who else was down in the water and he brought him through it? Jonah. Jonah was in the belly of the fish down in the deep waters. And he brought him through that. Whatever circumstances that you go through that you feel like you're drowning, all you got to do is raise up your hand like Peter did when he was stepped out of the boat. Peter said, Lord, if that's you, bid me to come. If that's you, Lord. Not a ghost, not an imitation. Only if that's you, if you bid me to come, I'm going to do something that no man has ever done before and ever will do. I'm going to walk on the circumstances, you know, because they thought they were going to drown. They thought that they were going to perish. And when Jesus told them, come, he only said one word. He didn't beg him. He didn't try to persuade him. He just said, come. And that's the same thing that God is telling us to do. Come. All he wants you to do is trust him and believe in him. Regardless of the circumstances, they felt they were drowning. They were going to drown. They were going to perish. And Jesus told Peter to come. And he walked on his circumstances until he did what? Took his eyes off Jesus. How many of us? We doing great. We're reading our Bibles. We're in prayer. We're doing all the right thing until when them circumstances come. We start looking at the circumstances and we take our eyes off Jesus. And that's when we started sinking. I don't know about you, but there's been many times in my life I felt that I was sinking. But just like Peter, the shortest prayer, help me, Lord. Help me, Lord. You know, it's like in the wintertime when you're on ice or whatever and your car starts spinning and sliding. All you do is say, Jesus. That's all you got to do is say, Jesus. And he's right there with us. And when Peter said, help me, Lord, it said immediately he reached down. He didn't rebuke him. He reached down and brought him up. He redeemed him. He brought him to safety. And it says, and they shall not overflow thee. When thou walkest through the fire, wait a minute, thou shalt not be burned. Neither shall the flames kindle upon thee. Wait a minute, when you walk through, you know flames going to burn you. Has anybody ever put your hand on a hot stove? But he says, when you walk through the fire, I'm there with you. I don't know how many times I was, when I'm doing stuff and I'm going through things, I felt like I was burning. But he was always there. The three Hebrew boys, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, they didn't bow their knee. They didn't do what the king Nebuchadnezzar told them to do, to bow a knee and worship him. No, king. And King Nebuchadnezzar said, you know, I'm going to give y'all opportunity to do it again. We don't need no opportunity. We're not going to bow. Our God is able. Listen to what he said. Our God is able to deliver us out of this fire. Our God is able. Now, how do you think King Nebuchadnezzar thought about that? Are you crazy? This fire is going to burn you up. And it says he got so mad, he told him to heat the fire up 7 times hotter. And when the men went to go put him in there, the men who had hold of them, they burn up. But these 3 men of God who trusted in God did not compromise. And King Nebuchadnezzar said, I know we put 3 in there, but it looks like there's 4. And that other one looks like the Son of God. And who's the Son of God?
Jesus.
Oh, he said, when you walk through the fires, I'll be there with you. And you know what the account said. It said that they came out and they didn't even smell like smoke. The only thing that burnt was what tied them up. The only thing that will burn up is what things that are tying us up. You ever felt like you were tied up and bound? Huh? Oh, our God is a God who will bring you through that, through the waters, through the fires of life. When you feel like you're drowning, when you feel like you're burning and going through all type of difficult things. He's there with us. I don't know about you, but I couldn't go through life with the peace and the joy and the confidence I have if it wasn't for God. You hear what I'm saying? I couldn't. When the pressure is on you, when you're going through the fires and the rivers and all that type of things, let me tell you something. If it wasn't for God, I'd have a needle in my arm. Do you know that? To escape it. But thank God he delivered me. Thank God that he's there. Thank God he's bringing me through it. Thank God. And he's bringing you through it also. Whatever you're going through, he's going to bring you through it. Trust me with that. Trust me with that. That's what he said. But do we believe it? Do we believe it? And listen to what he says. He says, He says, and the flame kindle upon thee. He said, for I am the Lord thy God, the Holy One of Israel, thy Savior. Thy Savior. I'm going to save you from whatever. Whatever you go through, I'm here to save you. You might be going through something in your marriage. You might be going through something with your children. You might be going through something with your job. You might be going through something with your health. Whatever you're going through. He said, I'm the Lord thy God. I'm your Savior. Not only am I going to save you from hell, I'm going to save you from whatever you're going through. Whatever you're going through, I'm going to be there with you. Do you know that? How good is that? But we need to understand. We need to understand and remember and have that always right here that God is with us. Always. He'll never leave us and never forsake us. And verse four. Let me finish. I am the Lord thy God, the Holy One of Israel, Savior. I gave Egypt out of thy, for thy ransom and Ethiopia and Sheba from thee. Since thou was precious in my sight. Do you know that you are precious? Do you know what precious mean? It's valuable. You know, like precious stones. It means like you are held to a higher standard. He says, you are precious in my sight. You know why you're precious in his sight? Because of his son, Jesus. When he looks down at us now, Eva, whatever you might have done or not done, he'll look down at Eva and the enemy say, oh, you know what Eva did. Eva did this, Eva did that. And he'll look down and say, Eva ain't done nothing. She's sinless because I'm looking at her through my son. And he paid that price. He loves you so much, Eva. He loves you so much. And not only you, Eva, but all the rest of us also. Do you know that? While we were yet sinners, he still died for us. That's how much he loved. When we're still out there in the world acting crazy and being a heathen, he still loved us. That's the love of our God. And he says that you're precious in my sight. Thou hast been honorable, and I have loved thee. Therefore, I will give men for thee and people for thy life. Fear not, for I am with thee. And I will bring thy seed from the east and gather thee from the west. He says, I love you so much. He says, even I'm going to bless your children. I'm going to bless your seed, is what he said. How good is that? That's what's given me faith about my children and grandchildren and great grandchildren. Because I got some that's way out there in that far country. But God said, if I'm faithful, if I give my life to him, he says, I will get a hold of your seed. How good is that? How reassuring is that? Praise the Lord. Now let's go to Hebrews 13. Hebrews 13. I'm going to start in verse 5. Hebrews 13 and 5. When you get to say amen. Let your conversation be without covetousness, and be content with such things that you have, for he has said, I will never, never ever leave thee nor forsake thee. There we go again. Let your conversation be without covetousness, and be content with such things as you have. Some people have more than others, don't they? But he says, be content with what you have. Because God supply all your needs according to his riches and glory in Christ Jesus. Sometimes we have a want instead of a need. You hear what I'm saying? But whatever need that you have, he said, he will be there to fulfill that need. Whatever it might be. He said, and don't be covetous. Don't be looking at somebody else and seeing what they got. Oh, they got a new house. Oh, they got a new car. Oh, they got this, that, and other. No. Be content with what you have, because it can always be a lot worse. Do you know that? It can always be a lot worse. But he says, I want you to be content. He said, because I will never leave you nor forsake. If he will never leave us and never forsake us, let me tell you something. We got everything that we need. And then as you start growing in the Lord, as you start maturing, you'll say to yourself, I got everything that I want. Because God is in control. You know what I'm saying? God is in control. So I have everything that not only that I need, but I got everything that I want because God is in control and he's going to bless me with everything that he wants me to have. Lord, I only want what you want for me. Lord, I only want what you want for me. Not what my mama or my daddy, not what the church or the elders want for me, not even what I want for myself. But I only want what you want for me. And then the next part of that is, Lord, just give me whatever you want for me. Whatever it is, bring it on, Lord. I'm good with it because I know it comes from you. I know it comes from you because you love me so much. And I know whatever you're going to give me is going to be good. And I'm content with it. I'm satisfied with it. I am so good with it. You know, it's like when you go to the Chinese buffet. And you eat, and you eat, and you eat. And sometimes you eat too much, don't you? I do anyway. I say every time, I'm not going to eat a whole lot. But, when I come out of there, I don't want no other food. I'm content. You know what I'm saying? I'm content. You can have all kind of stuff out there for me, but I'm content because I am full. And that's the same thing we need to be. We need to be full of God. We need to be full of Jesus, whereas we don't have an appetite for the things of the world as we used to, as we used to. And all of us used to have an appetite for the things of the world. Amen. Praise the Lord. I don't care how long you've been serving the Lord. We've all had an appetite for the things of the world. And sometimes that appetite might come back on you from time to time. But all you got to do is call out to the Lord. Lord, I need more of you today. I want all of you. I want more of you, Lord, and less of me. I want more of you, Lord, and less of me. Amen? Then it says that, so, verse 6, I will never leave you and never forsake you, so that we may boldly say to the Lord is my helper. He will never leave us and never forsake us because we may boldly say, the Lord is my helper. I will not fear what man shall do unto me. I love that. Once we get to a place that we know, that we know, that we know that God is for us, who can be against us? I'm going to say that again. Once you know that you know that you know that God is for us, who can be against us? Now, I had a conversation with a young man here the other day. And there's a word that we use, believe. And you can say, well, I believe the Lord is with me. Now, when you say, I believe, you can say that has a little thing in the English language. Well, maybe, maybe not. Maybe, maybe not. I believe that it's not going to rain today. But it could, couldn't it? It could. But when you say, I know that the Lord is with me. I know for sure that the Lord loves me. I know for sure that God is going to provide for me. I know for sure that he is always going to be with me and never leave me. See, it's a whole difference. But a lot of times in the Bible, it says believe. It says believe on the Lord and you shall be saved. Ain't that what it said? But it's about knowing of the Lord and you shall be saved. You see what I'm saying? You got to take those words and you have to put a knowing to them. And that's what a lot of these words, when you look them up in the Greek and the Hebrew, it's know. I know that my Redeemer lives. I know that my God is with me in the waters, in the streams, and in the rivers. I know my God is with me in the furnace of afflictions and in the fire. I know he's with me and he's going to bring me through that. Once again, yea, though I walk through through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. Why? Because thou art with me. Thou art with me. And we need to remember that, because we're coming to a place in our world where it's going to get a lot worse. You think it's worse now. You think it's bad now. Let me tell you something. It's going to get a lot worse. But we as Christians, we know that we're going to be okay. We know that God is with us, and regardless of what happens in the government, in the world, or any place, we know that God is with us and he's covering us. Praise the Lord, because he is our Father. We are his children. Oh, and he's going to be with us through all of this. That's why we shouldn't have any fear. That's why we shouldn't have any anxiety. That's why we shouldn't have no depression. But the enemy wants us to look at the conditions of our government, to look at conditions of the world, and look at the condition of all of these type of things so we can take our eyes off God. But he's a liar and there's no truth in him. That's why we need to not forsake the assemblies of ourselves as others do, so you can come together so we can encourage one another. Whatever you might be going through, there's somebody who's gone through that before you. Might be sitting in front of you, behind you, or next to you. I remember years ago, back when I was pastoring the church of the Truth of Christ, and we used to have men's breakfasts once a month. And there was a man that came in, he had just lost his wife a week before that, 35 years. He just lost his wife. He was in terrible condition. Didn't even know if he wanted to live anymore without his wife. And he was just, just was not good at all. And he sat next to a gentleman that a lot of you don't know him, but a lot of you do, a Mr. Cheatham. He sat next to Mr. Cheatham, and he was going on and on and on about how he don't want to live without his wife, and he don't know how he's going to go on without his wife. And Mr. Cheatham turned around and looked at him. He said, let me tell you something. He said, I'm going to help you through it. He said, God, I lost my Bessie here a year ago, and we were together for 73 years. And I lost my Bessie. He says, and let me tell you something. He said, we're going to get through this together. He said, because I know what you're going through. I've been through what you're going through. And let me tell you who brought me through it. His name is Jesus. His name is Jesus. And he'll bring you through it also. And that man, Mr. Cheatham, and that man, they got together and prayed. And Mr. Cheatham, he just encouraged him and loved on him. And the man today, he's doing well. He's doing well. Now, when you lose somebody, you don't forget about them. You're always going to remember. But God, he will bring you through that. You understand what I'm saying? To a point where you don't have to worry about, I don't want to live anymore. That's the enemy talking right there. That's the enemy talking. And then it says, where am I at? Oh. So that we may boldly say, the Lord is my helper, and I will fear, and I will not fear what man shall do to me. Remember them which have rule over you, who have spoken unto you the word of God, whose faith follows, considering the end of their conversation. Jesus Christ changes all the time. Is that what it say? Jesus Christ is the same yesterday. Yesterday was Saturday, right? He's the same yesterday. Today is what? Sunday, right? And he's the same forever. Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday. April, May, June, July, August, September, October, November, December. He's the same every day, all day long. And if you remember that, he's the same one. He's the same one who sacrificed his life, that loved you so much that he shed his blood for us. We need to remember that. We need to know that. Not believe it, but know it. You see, and once we get it down within our crawl that we know, that we know, that we know, nothing can change that. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. Even yesterday while we were yet sinners. Even today while we're saving him. While we're serving him. And even tomorrow and all throughout. He's the same Savior, the same one who loves us, the same one who gave himself for us, the same one that provides for us, the same one that heals us. He's the same. We change, don't we? We change. You know, we got circumstances that go on in our lives, and you might see somebody one day, oh, praise the Lord, how you doing? Oh, everything's good. Next day, them. What's wrong? Well, you know, I got a bad report. Well, Jesus is always the same. And if we're following Jesus, and if that same spirit that raised up Jesus from the dead is in us, all is well. All is well. Regardless of what's going on, all is well. Now, let's go to Psalms 139. Psalms 139, and I'm going to start in verse 1. When you get to say amen. Do you think that God knows everything about you? Huh? Amen. Sometimes I have to stop and say, wait a minute. All right. God, you're looking at me. You're listening to me. Let me correct myself. Praise the Lord. Let me correct myself, Lord. Forgive me, Lord. Yes. O Lord, thou hast searched me. O Lord, thou hast searched me and known me. Notice that word known. He knows that he knows that he knows because he has searched us. He knows everything about us. Like I said before, he knows how many hairs you have on your head or how many you don't. He knows everything about us. He knows what we're thinking before we even think it. Do you know that? He knows everything that we're thinking before we even think it. Do you know that, Jim? Piazza? He knows what you're thinking right now. What are you thinking right now? No, I'm just kidding. Thou knowest my sitting down. He knows when you're sitting down, when you're sitting down in despair, when you're sitting down where you might be a little anxious. You're sitting down, you know, maybe you're not being up doing what you should be doing. I'm going to say this here. I cannot start my day without being in the presence of God. I can't. I cannot. I cannot start my day without getting into the Word of God, getting to my prayer closet, getting into my devotions, getting that what I need for God to carry me through the day. Thou knowest my sitting down and my uprising. Thou understandest my thoughts from afar. He knows what you, and he understands your thoughts. And listen to what it said. Not only does he know your thoughts, but he understands your thoughts. Even when your thoughts are not right, he understands why you're thinking the way that you're thinking. And then once again, so if he understands that, why we're thinking what we're thinking, sometimes, you know, there's a stumbling block in front of us. Sometimes the enemy will put things in your mind or in your way. He said, I understand that. I understand that you're stepping out today or tomorrow. But listen to what he says after that. He says, thou compresses my path and my lying down and art acquainted with all my ways. Let me read that again. Thou compresses my path and my lying down and art acquainted with all my ways. He knows, you know, acquaintance means that you know somebody. I'm acquainted with you. That means I know you. There is not a word in thy tongue, but lo, O Lord, that thou knowest it altogether. Oh, wait a minute. There's a word in my tongue, but lo, O Lord, thou knowest it altogether. He knows everything that you said and will say. Did you hear what I'm saying? He knows everything that you said and will say. That's why we need to have the Holy Spirit within us, that we can speak the things of God, that we can bring forth, you know, life and not death, that we can bring forth, you know, to somebody who's going through something, to encourage them, to inspire them, and not tear them down, not point our finger, not have a self-righteous spirit, Thou hast beset me behind and before, and laid thy hand upon me. This is so good. Thou hast beset me behind and before, and laid thy hand upon me. His hand is upon you. Such knowledge is too wonderful for me. It is high. I cannot obtain it. I cannot obtain that God is always with me. I cannot, you know, it boggles my mind to know that God is always with me, that his hand is upon me, that he loves me so much. It's just too much for me to comprehend. It says, whither shall I go from thy spirit, Lord? Whither shall I go from thy spirit, Lord? Or whither shall I flee from thy presence? Nowhere. You can't go nowhere without the presence of God, because he's everywhere. He's everywhere. He says, if I ascend up into heaven, thou art there. If I ascend up, you are there, Lord. If I make my bed in hell. Ooh, I like that one. I like that one. If I make my bed in hell, behold, thou art there. You understand what I'm saying? He's there. If you, now once again, it don't say you do it, but if what he's saying is, if I do this, I know you're going to be there. If I go to heaven, I know you're going to be there. If I know I go to hell, you're going to be there, Lord. He says, if I take the wings of the morning and dwell in the uttermost parts of the sea, even there shall thy hand lead me, and thy right hand shall uphold me. Even there shall thy hand lead me, and thy right hand shall hold me or grip me. If I say, surely the darkness shall cover me, then the night shall be light unto me. This is so good. Surely the darkness shall cover. If I say, surely the darkness shall cover me, even the night shall be a light unto me. I don't care how dark times you go into. Because sometimes we're in deep darkness. I don't know about you. There's been times in my life where it seemed like I can't even see no light because of the darkness when you're going through different things. But he says, even when you're going through that, he says, you shall be a light before me. Yea, the darkness hideth not from thee, but the night shineth as the day, and the darkness and the light are both alike to thee. I don't care if you're in the light or the dark. He says, it's a light to you. He says, I'm going to be there with you, and I'm going to bring you through. In the darkest time, he said, there's light. In the darkest time of your life, in the midnight hour of your life, he said, I will be a light unto you and a lamp unto your path. Psalms 119:105. I'll be a light unto your path. For thou hast possessed my reins, and thou hast covered me from my mother's womb. Ooh, listen to this here. Thou hast covered me from thy mother's womb. That's why we are so adamant about not abortions. We don't believe in abortions because it's murder. It's murder. I will praise thee, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Marvelous are thy works, and that my soul knoweth right well. Let me read that. I will praise thee, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. I don't care what you look like, where you come from, what you've done. He says that you are fearfully and wonderfully made. Marvelous are thy works, and that my soul knoweth right well. My substance will not hide from thee. When I was made in secret and curiously wrought in the lowest parts of the earth, my eyes did see my substance, yet being unperfect, and in thy book, and all thy members were written, which is continually, which were fashioned, when as yet there was none of them. How precious, there we go with that precious again. How precious also are thy thoughts unto me. Jeremiah 29, I know the thoughts I have for you, good and not of you. I have an expected end for you. He has wonderful thoughts for each and every one of us. Do you know that? Regardless of what you might do or don't do, he has wonderful thoughts for you. And even those of our family members and loved ones that are there out in the street, that don't know Jesus yet, he has thoughts for them, just like he has thoughts for us. They are potential. They are potential servants of the Lord Jesus Christ. Everybody who was ever born are potentially sons and daughters of God, potentially. How precious are you and are thy thoughts unto me, O God, how great is the sum of them. How great are the sum of them. If I should count them, they are more in number than the sand which I awake and I am still with thee. Listen, if I should count them, the precious thoughts that he has me, he said they're number more than the sands of known on earth. Now, I don't know about you, but sand is uncountable. You can't even count how many grains of sand it is. That's how many thoughts that he has for us. Surely thou shalt slay the wicked, O Lord, depart from me. Therefore, you bloody men, they speak against thee wickedly, and thy enemy take thy name in vain. I hate when somebody uses the Lord's name in vain. Hate it. I used to do it. But I was ignorant of the fact of what it really, what it meant. I hate when people use the Lord. And I always will correct them. I always will say something. I won't just let you sit up and take my Lord's name in vain and not say nothing. You might not like it, but I'm going to say something to you. You don't use my Lord's name like that. Absolutely not. And matter of fact, a lot of times if I'm somewhere and somebody says something like that, I said, well, what church you go to? And they'll look at me like, what? For thy speak against thee wickedly, and thy enemies take thy name in vain. Do not I hate them, O Lord, and hate that hate thee? Do not I hate them that hate thee, and am not grieved with those that rise up against thee? I hate them with perfect hatred, and I count them my enemies. Search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me and know my thoughts. Search me. How many of us have asked God to search us? I know there's been times in my life I didn't want him to search me because I knew what was in me. Amen? I'm probably the only one that was in here like that. Search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me and know my thoughts. And that's where we need to be when God searches us, that he will find nothing but praise, that he will find nothing but honor. But it takes time to do that. And what we have to do with that is know that we know that we know that God is always there with us, that he will never leave us and forsake us. When we have that and we know that, we will have a mindset of, Lord, you're searching me and you see what's in me. I got Jesus in me. I have Jesus in me from time to time. You know, you kind of get off key a little bit, huh? The 1 John 1:9, confess your sins to him. Confess your sins to God, and he says he's faithful and just to forgive you and to cleanse you from all right. And that puts you back in that right position where you have the mind of Christ. Where you have the mind of Christ again. When he searches you, you have the mind of Christ within you. Try me. Test me, Lord. He says, and know my thoughts. And see if there be any wicked way in me. Lead me in the way everlasting. And see if there be any wicked way in me. Oh, I'm saved. I'm sanctified. I'm glorified. But Lord, search me to see if there's any wicked way in me. Is there anything in me that is against you? Anything in me, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the pride of life. Those are the three things that all sin is under the umbrella of that. Do you know that? The lust of the flesh, the lust of the eye, and the pride of life. That's the umbrella of sin. All sin comes under that umbrella. Search me, Lord, and see if there's anything in me that is not of you. And if it is, take it out by any means necessary. Whatever you have to do, Lord, You get these things out of me. Have at it. Have at it, Lord. But are you ready for that? When you pray that, get ready. Because let's be honest. We all got some stuff. It might be deep down. Amen. It might be deep down that you're harboring resentment or bitterness or anger or unforgiveness or whatever it might be. Whatever it might be. I don't know about you, but I want all of God and less of me. I want all of God and none of me. But it's a process that I'm going through. And you know what? And if we have that mindset each and every day, Lord, more of you and less of me. More of you and less of me. More of you and less of me, Lord. Let me tell you something. When we start having the mind of Christ, when we start thinking and knowing that God is always with us, that he knows our thoughts, he knows what comes out of our mouth, he knows everything about us, that's when we can start saying, okay, Lord, take it out of me by any means necessary. Whatever you have to do. And sometimes when we give him permission to do that, it gets a little tough. It gets a little tough, but it is worth it. These are something that I read every day, the exceedingly great and precious promises. I read these every morning. I will never leave you and never forsake you. We already talked about that. I will instruct you and teach you in the ways you should go. I will instruct you and teach you in the way you should go. I will counsel you and always watch over you. I can't tell you what a comfort that brings to me. I will always watch over you. I will sustain you and I will always rescue you. I will sustain you and I will always rescue. I will strengthen you and help you. I will uphold you with my righteous right hand. I'm going to read that one again. I will strengthen you and help you. I will uphold you with my righteous right hand. How can you, if God upholds us with our righteous right, with his righteous right hand, there's nothing better than that, church. I am with you and will watch over you wherever you go. I am with you and will watch over you wherever you go. If you go to Texas, I'm with you. I'm going to watch over you. Wherever you go, I'm there with you. He says, I've engraved you on the palms of my hand. I love that. I've engraved you on the palms of my hand because I always got you right here. I always got you right here. Now, the other one is I uphold you, my righteous right hand. And now I've engraved you on my hand. Every time I look at my hands, you're right there. You're right there. I'll never leave you, never forsake you. I always got you. Regardless of what the government might say, regardless of what the insurance company might say, regardless of what the doctor might say, I got you. I got you. So why worry? You know, I use the term concerned. You know, and there's a difference between worry and concern. Do you know that? Worry, well, you would not sleep when you worry. Huh? You lose your appetite when you worry. You can get physically sick when you worry. Ulcers and different things. There's all type of things that you get from worrying. Because the Bible says, don't worry about anything. Don't be anxious about nothing. That's what worry means. Don't be anxious about nothing. But concerned is, I'm concerned. You know, I can sleep when I'm concerned. I can definitely eat when I'm concerned. Huh? I'm not going to get no ulcers being concerned. So, but there's a thin line of being concerned and worrying. Amen? I'm concerned about, you know, some of my kids. I'm not going to worry about them because God says, I got them. But some of the stuff that they do, concerned about them. I'm concerned about Vera. I'm concerned about you, Vera. You know I love you. Then this last one here. I will walk amongst you. I will walk amongst you. How good is that? When y'all got out your car, no, when you got out your bed this morning and got up, he was walking with you. When you ate breakfast, he was there with you. When you got in the car to come to church, he was there with you. When you parked in the parking lot and coming to church, he's there with you. He's that right there with you now. He's right there with you. Do you know that? Eric, he's right there with you. I will walk among you, and this is the good one, and be your God. I will walk among and will be your God. Not maybe, not might. I will be your God. And listen, and you will be my people. I will be your God, and you will be my people. I will walk among you and be your God, and you will. How can you not have joy? How can you not have peace that surpasses understanding? Knowing that the God of all creation is right here with us. How can we not have joy and peace? We need to be the most joyous people in the world if you're a Christian. We need to be the most joyous people. Not happy. Well, you can be happy too. You know, but I like joy better than happy. Because happy, you know, condition, happenstance. I'm happy because I'm not sick. I'm happy because I got a few dollars in my pocket. I'm happy because my kids are doing well. I'm happy because I'm going to eat something real good today. Happy. And if I don't eat nothing real good today, I ain't happy. But I got joy. Joy unspeakable. Whether I eat something good or not. You hear me saying, well, I feel good or not. To know that God is always there with me. He knows he knows everything about me. And this is the good part. When he knows that you love him. When you, not perfect, but when, you know, just take it. When you know that your spouse loves you, when you know that your child loves you, now, you might have some difficulties and arguments and disagreements, but in the bottom line, when Carmen looks at his wife and his wife looks at Carmen and they say, I know you love me and you know I love you. How good is that? When I look at Vera, you know I love you, Vera. Sometime? No, I'm kidding. I love Vera all the time. That's why I pick on her. And you know I love me some Dennis. Oh, Dennis, you know I love you, don't you? I can't wait back to get you a holy kiss on your head. I kiss him every Sunday on his head. He don't like that, but I do. Praise the Lord. But anyway, did y'all understand what we talked about here today? The love of the Father. When you get that down within you, all is well. All is well. When you get knowing that the God of all creation is right here with you all the time, in the good and the bad. He's always there right with you. Can't beat that. There's no amount of money that can satisfy you as much as knowing the love of the Father in our lives. If you're here this morning, and you never, ever have surrendered your life to Jesus, you don't know the love of the Father. You can't know the love of the Father. You know, a lot of people say, and I've gotten people upset with me because they say, everybody's God's children. No, no, no. Everybody's not God's children. Everybody is created. Created by God. But unless you yield yourself to the Lord Jesus Christ, and accept him as your Lord and Savior, you're not a child of God. I'm here to tell you what the Word of God says. You're not a child of God. Only those who are born again, only those who have yielded their life to Jesus, only those who have surrendered your life and say, Lord, I give, I surrender. And that's when he says, yes. He said, now you're my child. I got you. You ain't got to worry about nothing ever again for eternity. I'm putting you in the Lamb's Book of Life. And when you take your last breath, where I am, you will be also. You'll be in heaven. So if anybody's here today and you have not surrendered your life to Jesus, today is the day. Oh, God. Today is the day. You say, well, I'll do it tomorrow. You're not promised tomorrow. None of us. None of us are promised. You know, we're one heartbeat away from eternity. You know, your eternity might be 5 minutes from now. Do you know Jesus as Lord and Savior? Because he knows your thoughts and he knows whether you are or not. So if you don't know him, you can come know him today. You can come and join the family of God today. And know that you know that you know that he is your heavenly Father and he will love you unconditionally. Is there anyone here today? Amen. You know, I love it that everybody's sitting here today saying, I'm a child of God. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord for that. That I'm a child of God. That I know, that I know, that I know that he loves me. I know, that I know, that I know. When I die, that I'm going to be with him in heaven. But if you have any doubt, you need to make sure. You need to make sure. So if anybody's sitting out here that has any doubt, you need to make sure today. Praise the Lord. And don't be ashamed. And don't be ashamed. Amen. Amen. Is there anyone else?